Today's episode of Vital Voices is brought to you by Oak Tree Medical Center and Wellspring Lifestyle Group.
Vital Voices.
Welcome to Vital Voices, the podcast where we amplify the stories, insights, and expertise of the people shaping the future of our communities, our conversations, and our country. I'm your host, Alexis Burrows. Thank you again for joining us each week for the nation's most vital conversations, where insight meets impact. Today's episode is deeply personal and powerful. I'm honored to welcome not only a brilliant physician, but also my wife, Dr. Paige Burrows. Paige is a Christian wife, mother, business owner, certified lifestyle medicine educator, and health coach who is a passionate advocate for whole person health and wellness. But today, she's here as more than a doctor. She's here as a survivor, a student of suffering, and a testament to resilience. Like millions around the world, Paige battled COVID-19. But for her, the virus wasn't a two-week disruption. It became a multi-year journey marked by chronic fatigue, neurological symptoms, and countless ups and downs. In this episode, she opens up about her experience with long COVID and how that experience became the catalyst for a total transformation, physically, mentally, and spiritually. So together, we'll go from hospital bed to holistic healing, from brain fog to clarity, from helplessness to hope, and from pills to pillars, as we cover one physician's journey into lifestyle as medicine. So whether you're a patient, a caregiver, or a healthcare provider, you'll find insights, encouragement, and practical wisdom in this conversation. Let's dive in. Welcome to the show.
Welcome back to the show.
Yes, it is great to be here again.
So, like I said last week, you know, we've had you on as a co-host for the past few weeks as we were going through the Couples in Purpose series. But we are now having you on as a guest.
I know. That's a little different.
It's a little different. You know, like I mentioned on last week's episode, you know, for a lot of people, well, now they know, you know, you've been working alongside me. You've been, you know, instrumental in what Vital Voices is from the very beginning. And so we always knew that we wanted to get to a point where we could have you on the show to talk about your areas of interest, who you are, what you're doing, and all of those things. And we always know that we wanted to start with your story, which is quite an interesting one. Even as you, you know, I live the experience with you, but having heard you kind of talk about it in a couple of different forums over the last few months, over even the last year or so, I would say, you know, there's things about it that I realize that mostly from a trauma standpoint, like I just block things out.
You may have blocked it out.
You know, I feel like you definitely have a very powerful story and a testimony that I think is going to be very insightful and helpful for our listeners, whether they are a patient, whether they are a caregiver, whether they're a physician, whether just in healthcare in any form. So I think this is going to be very useful for them. You know, COVID was such an interesting time. You know, I remember going through that period of life and all of the testing and the mask and all of this. And I think we were about a year or so into it, well, a year into having gone through all of the different lockdowns and whatnot when we caught COVID. But, you know, take us back to that point when, because we basically caught it together. But what was that like? What were your initial symptoms? When did you realize this was more than just temporary in your case?
Well, I would have to go back to April of 2021. Life was going pretty well. I was in my residency program. I was enjoying every minute of that. Loved interacting with my patients. Loved my day-to-day. You were doing pretty well in your career, too. Mm-hmm. We're meeting our goals. We were raising our child, a mother of one at the time. And, you know, all in all, I was tired. it was COVID. We hadn't had, at least for me, I hadn't had a vacation in like a year and a half. But I had been having some struggles. I was at that point where I had had 5 surgeries in 5 years, going along very well, you know, kind of on the outside because I'm loving what I do. But there's a lot going on in my body that I don't seem to really understand. And so finally I get to the vacation part of mm-hmm. life. I get to this point where I'm finally approved. I'm going off. We're heading off to Sandals in Exum. And we're like, hun, we're going to live our life. Okay? It's been a while since we've done something together like this, like a regular vacation. And we're going to go off and enjoy ourselves, you know? We got on that plane, and I don't even think we were there for 24 hours when I started experiencing these unbelievable leg cramps and an exhaustion that, I mean, I thought I knew tired, like post-call and things like that, but this was different. I was exhausted, and I'm like, maybe my body just couldn't wait for having some time off, you know? And so it needless to say, we did not live our best life Mm-mm. on that vacation. So we came home and said, okay, we're going to take our daughter and go with some family mm-hmm. to Dolphin Encounters. We're going to pick this thing back up. So I struggle. I remember taking some Panadol for the leg, saying I'm going to push through for my baby girl because she wasn't with us in Exum at Sandals, right? So I'm going to push through with my baby girl and get her to Dolphin Encounters. We got the Stingrays book. We got the dolphins. But we are ready, okay? We are ready. And I was like, hun, my head and my legs are still going. He's like, you know, I'm doing okay. So let's just push through. So I take some Panadol in the car on the way, and we get there. And we got through with those dolphins, but, I mean, I still haven't seen a stingray. We laid out.
What I remember after the dolphins was we laid out under the umbrella.
And we could not move.
Could not move.
Could not swim. Could not swim. Mm-hmm. So our baby girl is like, I was like, play right here in the sand, you know, play right there. And they say lunch. I say, okay, let's go get the lunch. Now, when I realized that I could not taste that lunch, I said, we got to get out of here. We got to get out of here. I know what's going on. So, of course, we go through, we get our swabs, and we know it's positive. And the course goes relatively moderate. You know, I had to do some nebs, had a cough, was tired, had some up and down heart rates. But all in all, the course was okay of COVID for me. The problem came when my symptoms disappeared. My symptoms disappeared, and I was like, oh, I'm still a little bit tired. I'm going to need my heart rate to regulate. However, I'm good. I'm going to get sorted out, get back to work, get back to my life, because that's what it's all been about for me. It was like, regardless of what you're experiencing, regardless of what you're going through, you push through for the goal, you push through for your patients, you put that aside, and you do what needs to be done. And so I said, you know, I'm just going to get through with this. We're going back to work. And boy, it was the Monday of which I was scheduled to return mm-hmm. when in the wee hours of that morning, I started to experience some funky neurological. They were funky. And I said, you know, I just had COVID. Let me not be alarmed just yet. But these symptoms, numbness and tingling in the face, arms, I was like, I'm going to have to check this out. So I said, anyway, by morning, I'm going to, now, if you're experiencing this, go to the hospital right away, okay? Right away. Do not wait, okay? Go and check yourself out. But I said, let me take a second, you know, and I was trying to come to grips with everything that I had gone through at the time. And so by morning, I had a host of other issues that was happening at the time. And I said, you know, hon, I think I'm going to have to present. I don't know if I'm going to be able to go to work, but maybe mm-hmm. I'll go to the clinic. I'll get some labs. I'll see what's going on because I just had COVID. Mm-hmm. A lot of things can be going on, right? And I think it was by like 10 a.m., okay? I remember getting fully dressed to head to that clinic. And boy, I remember coming to and everyone let me know, hey, you had seizures. You mm-hmm. had a seizure. And I'm like, yeah, mm-hmm. That sounds about like what happened. And so we're not going to the clinic now. We're going to the hospital. Mm-hmm. And that's where the journey really, 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 really started. I ended up staying like being hospitalized for, it was 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. 2 weeks, I believe.
DHRS.
Literally for symptoms of long COVID with a host of neurological issues that were accompanying the seizures. I had issues with my vision. I could not focus. It seemed like it was an issue in accommodation, right? There's dryness of the eyes. Blurry vision. I ended up having difficulties even controlling limbs, you know, for any listeners in the healthcare field, just tons of cerebellar signs that made it really, really difficult for me to control my movements. And so the journey to recovery began really the day that I left that hospital.
Mm-hmm. And boy, quite a journey it was. You know, you mentioned that you were in the hospital, you were on a lot of different types of medications over the process. What was that experience like for you physically and emotionally? Because obviously as a physician, you know, you don't necessarily see yourself in the vein of having to be seen by your peers, your colleagues, your friends. And just what was all of that like?
Right. You know, because, you know, you said something in the intro, you said I was acquainted with suffering. And mm-hmm. even up to this point, that was true. Like, it wasn't easy in the multiple surgeries,
yeah.
Seeing persons that I work with, right?
Mm-hmm.
Dealing with having multiple surgeries, especially ones of like sensitive natures, right?
Mm-hmm.
with your colleagues, right? Like, that's tough. And so I had been placed in the position of the patient before.
That's true.
For my daughter, I had, five hospitalizations to bring her into the world.
Just during
the pregnancy alone. And mm-hmm. so I was acquainted with physical suffering mm-hmm. as a doctor. And so it always made me understand like what the journey was like for the people that I serve, the people that I love and cared for and still love and care for. But I was in their seat, you know, which was different for me. And for colleagues of mine that have been in that position, it changes you a bit. Yeah. It changes you and your perspective of what your patients are going through. And so I remember the first time swallowing those anti-epileptic or anti-seizure medications. That was rough because I'm like, I'm having trouble with my cognition, remembering everything
mm-hmm.
that I remember seeing patients that would say, "Doc, you know, sometimes it's hard for me to function at work on these pills." And you got to do what you got to do. And yes, you do have to do what you need to do when you need your medication. You take your medication. But I knew, I'm like, if I'm going to get my life back, I can't be on 3 anti-epileptic drugs. It mm-hmm. might be a little tough for me in my day-to-day. The climb will be a lot harder,
yeah.
you know, for me. And you know, physicians, there are physicians out there that struggle with all sorts of things, all sorts of conditions. And my heart goes out to all the healthcare workers, all the persons at their jobs that are struggling with things on medications that do impact, you know, what it is that you do in your day to day. But that was my experience. It was tough, you know, on mm-hmm. those medications. My energy was drained. I was super tired, you know, sleepy. I had issues with remembering things I needed to remember. And it was a battle between the side effects that I had going on,
yeah.
but as well as the condition itself. Every day was a full-on struggle in functionality. And being a high-functioning person, literally a few weeks before this, it was hard to come to grips with that.
Yeah, that was... and it was interesting as a husband to kind of sit on the other side of it because that was a very different time. And it very much was trying to figure out, like, okay, like you're supposed to be on the meds, but what's happening to you when you're on the meds, like, is that better or worse than if you just weren't taking the meds at all? And it's like, these were genuine conversations that we had. And so I do get when you say, like, being on the other side of it and having remembered conversations that you had with patients, and now sitting in that space, you're like, oh, this is, yeah, I understand the difficulty now of when people say, "But doc, I don't know if I want to take my meds because of, like, this is what it does."
Right, you don't want to be that non-compliant.
Right, but then at the same time, you're like, but I feel like I'm not even like remotely functional.
Yeah, I'm not myself. Want to be. I'm not myself.
I need to be, right? And that's difficult. You know, at what point did you start searching for additional support in your long COVID healing journey?
Well, here's the thing. My journey of finding change and additional support started in Ernst the day of my hospitalization. So
before you landed in the hospital.
Literally, as I was experiencing the funky symptoms that I had said previously, just before I presented to hospital, I said, you know, I need a turnaround. I need a complete change
overall
in everything that I'm doing, because what is making me susceptible to need all these surgeries in the first place, you know? And why can't I answer the question? You know, how is it that other people are walking around, they're not needing this?
Mm-hmm.
What makes me different than them? So I started questioning things from way before this, right? I started questioning things. I said, you know, as a person of faith, I said, Lord, guide me in all truth. Because even though I'm getting care, top-notch care, mm-hmm. I'm getting care, but why is it not stopped? Why can't I turn this faucet off? This faucet of suffering for me, yeah. Why will it not turn off? What's making me special, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so beforehand, I started looking into nutrition and what does the Bible say about that?
Mm-hmm.
What does science say about that? I started getting curious and asking the Lord to point me in the right directions, because it felt like my suffering wouldn't end. And sitting down just before was when I said, okay, I'm going to sign up for this course online, you know, called Biblical Nutrition, just to learn a little bit more about it, just to see. And so I'm a lifelong learner. I love researching, yeah. You know? And so I started looking at it and saying, okay, the Lord put all these different fruits and vegetables and herbs, and they're not just for weight loss, you know, they to help me heal. And so I started to get that perspective shift even before being officially diagnosed with the long COVID. And then obviously what I did was I made a vow to continue and go even deeper and deeper into mm-hmm. that journey.
You know, you mentioned that one, obviously you mentioning that one of the key turning points for you was embracing nutrition. How much of a role did that play in your recovery?
So my journey to that full dietary and ultimately lifestyle shift,
mm-hmm.
That was tough because I took you with me. I took you with me a bit. We did everything traditional, being in the hospital, so much working late, doing calls. It's like you tend to eat just based on cravings, right?
Mm-hmm.
What do I feel like today? You have a lot of cravings, especially with me. I had like deficiencies in nutrition and things like that. So I was having some cravings, man, and sleep deprived. I have them. I had them all.
A physician's life is rough.
And then I take a little Nexium just in case they do you in, you know? And that was how it went. But I didn't think much about it prior to, you know, even a little ashamed to say it, but I didn't think much about my personal nutrition before this point, right? Not my personal nutrition. Mm-hmm. And when I started to learn more, especially in the weeks coming out of the hospital, I realized I needed to make a shift. So what we did, 3 months completely whole food, plant-based mm-hmm. for me, mainly whole food, plant predominant for you, but you rode hard with me. And during that time, I noticed a tremendous shift, even in illness,
mm-hmm.
In energy levels, still was battling episodic issue, but I wasn't tired every day, all day anymore. My gut, which I always described as trash, prior to this, my gut health improved tremendously. I didn't even know that I could experience the gut of a normal person. And I did, after that 3 months of focusing on taking in appropriate amounts of fiber, taking in appropriate amounts of phytonutrients, and drinking water,
mm-hmm.
water, not just like coffee and stuff,
yeah,
but water. And it was a beautiful thing for me. But what ended up fundamentally happening is it didn't solve everything, right? like I thought it would mm-hmm. after my research. I thought it would, but it didn't solve everything. So the journey had to continue.
Right. Because we did see reduction in frequency of episodes, things like that.
But yeah, I had some reduction and even like weight loss. Mm-hmm. 30 pounds came off, you know, for you, that was like 50 pounds, you know. So that I still fundamentally had to work on the fact of why I didn't lose as much as him. Anyway, I'm not going to be a hater, but, you know, male, female. But I knew I still had a lot of burning questions. And I'm like, the research needs to continue.
Yeah.
And the journey needs to continue.
I think what I remember from that time frame as well, which is how much the change in food affected, like, my mood. And I think that, you know, that's a conversation we're going to have on this show, hopefully in a few weeks, to talk about the connection between your gut health and the other parts of your body and the parts of your health. But that was one of the things that stood out to me, was just how much it impacted my day-to-day, just how I felt about just even being in the world. You know what I mean?
Right.
And so that for me was kind of the big takeaway as well, outside of the 50 pounds, obviously. But, you know, We did go through that together, and I think along the way we saw that there was still, like you said, there was still more to be done, more research, more tools to try and figure out. And eventually that led us to Wildwood.
Yes, right? So lifestyle medicine in general, right? Like, that's the field that I took interest in mm-hmm. at this particular point. And as I was researching and the Lord was guiding me to all these different components of health and mm-hmm. wellness that I just knew nothing about. He was guiding me. And so I'm like, why didn't just diet work? Now, my physicality at this point was really, honestly, any movements that I made would induce neurological issues. I think my peak at this point performance was 4 minutes on a stationary bike mm-hmm. before an incident. And walking was a challenge. We would take walks, and if the sun was too bright, I was extremely photosensitive. Mm-hmm. If the sun was too bright, there would be symptoms, and I would have to retreat to the car. Yeah. And so I started to notice that you're going through a lot more. You're going through social isolation mm-hmm. because of this. It's stressful because you're like, when am I getting back to life? Mm-hmm. I had a whole thing that I had a whole career. I was working on this. I'm like getting close to my final. I've been on like a journey that's mm-hmm. over a decade long. You can't just pause on that. You can't just indefinitely take a break. Like, you can't do that. And so that was stressful. That was stressful. And so I said, you know, I'm experiencing isolation. Mm-hmm. I'm experiencing stress. I was realizing the toll of my nutritional deficiencies. I couldn't keep hair on my head. You know, mm-hmm. Skin rashes, issues, like I'm seeing all the signs of different things, chronic inflammation, nutritional deficiencies, my sleep was severely compromised. And as I'm going through all this stuff, you know, I remember talking to a friend of mine, Dr. Gibson, you know, shout out. And she was like asking me, well, where do you want to go from here? I'm like, I can't see healthcare the same anymore mm-hmm. after what I've gone through. And I started describing to her what I want to do, where I want to go, how I want to help patients, how I want to view people holistically, like in a mind, body, spirit approach. Because in my healing journey, every time I did something that was just purely for my physical body, it's not taking me all the way over.
Right.
I'm doing research now and I'm being guided in this direction and I'm feeling like I need more. Like, I need to continue this journey somehow. And she's like, oh, she sends me a picture from the walls in the hospital that she's at mm-hmm. doing residency. And she's like, have you heard of lifestyle medicine? I'm like, girl, what? You know? And so I looked it up and I said, oh, yes. Oh, yes. This is me. I found it. And so I realized that I was being guided straight there mm-hmm. and I haven't looked back since. And I realized that this is a fundamental component to seeing persons that are suffering with chronic inflammation, chronic disease, mm-hmm. Who are battling conditions where they're seeing their physicians, and they're being monitored well. Those that are getting top-notch care, but they're still not coming over that edge. They're not able to get remission in their conditions. They're not able to reverse their conditions. Some of them not even to control their conditions on multiple antihypertensives, or multiple seizure medications, or multiple medications for diabetes and glycemic control, and it's not happening. So what are we missing? And so lifestyle medicine kind of cracked that door kind of wide open for me. Mm-hmm. And I started noticing, okay, from the nutrition, from the physical symptoms, physical activity, mm-hmm. I still need more. Mm-hmm. I still need more.
You know, that, like I said, that was kind of how we then ended up
at Wildwood.
Because you were doing research in the lifestyle medicine space. And then obviously, you know, your grandmother had been to Uchi Pines. And
we know a few other
people through our church family who had been to, you know, similar places.
I got a bit curious. Right. So I started to, you know, after I had given myself so many different, lifestyle prescriptions, right? I had given myself so many, and I'm progressing the whole time, right? Mm-hmm. But I'm wanting complete release. Like, I don't want to be debilitated, right? So I'm wanting complete release. And so I say, you know, babe, I have to immerse myself. I'm starting to get a little discouraged. The journey is going on, and I'm making so many changes, but I'm not there yet. Mm-hmm. And Wildwood was an answer for me. I needed to see people do this thing. I needed to not be the only person that I knew. You know, I wanted to see someone get into a space where they were preparing nutritious, whole food, plant-based meals for me, turning around and meeting others that were on a healing journey, turn around helping people, have people encourage me to have that physical activity, mm-hmm. to not fear my symptoms, to connect with other people and also get, you know, medical care, people to monitor me medically, mm-hmm. during the process, see a nutritionist, you know, immerse in nature. I wanted to do it all at once. And it was an amazing experience. And I remember walking for more than 20 minutes for the first time and having a hallelujah moment, mm-hmm. and saying, oh my goodness, look at me. You know, like, I have not been able to do this, especially not in sunlight. And it was an amazing, you know, I think it was great for you too, mm-hmm. you know, being able to fully immerse in a lifestyle center, like lifestyle is medicine, and watching people live this thing out, not experimentally, but like as a real life thing, experience a health coach for the first time, someone to get to know me, help me make goals, set goals, you know, see which state I'm at and my readiness to change and all that. And mm-hmm. Help me walk through the concept of change and what I wanted out of life. It felt like we should all be approached in that manner as it pertains to our chronic illnesses. And it's like a missing link.
Yeah, it definitely is. I hope you're enjoying this episode of Vital Voices. We're going to take a quick break for some words from our sponsors and we'll be right back. Gentlemen, it's time to take charge of your health with Oak Tree Medical Center. We provide comprehensive prostate care at affordable prices, from prostate-specific antigen tests to prostate ultrasounds to advanced prostate MRIs. We've got you covered. Need further evaluation or treatment? Oak Tree Surgical Suites offers biopsies and in-house surgery. Our team of experts is here for you every step of the way. Visit us at Oak Tree Medical Center on East Street South and Prince Charles Drive, or for surgical procedures, find us at Oak Tree Surgical Suites, top of the hill, Mackey Street. Call us today at 322-1145 or visit oaktreemedicalcenter.com. Oak Tree Medical Center. Caring, compassionate, complete.
Discover the ultimate in personalized healthcare with the Oak Tree Primary Plus program. Enjoy comprehensive primary care, annual physicals, lab and imaging discounts, mental health screenings, and more, all tailored to meet your needs. With flexible payment options, exceptional care has never been more accessible. Join today and take control of your health journey. Call 242-8164-OPP, 4667, or visit oaktreemedicalcenter.com. Oak Tree Primary Plus, where your health comes first.
Ladies, at Oak Tree Medical Center, your health is our priority. From early detection to advanced treatment options, our comprehensive breast care services are here to support you every step of the way. With locations at East Street South, Prince Charles Drive, and our state-of-the-art surgical suites and MRI at Top of the Hill Mackey Street, we're right where you need us. Because when it comes to your breast care, you deserve the best care. And remember, the Million Mammogram movement continues. Call us today at 24232-21145 or visit oaktreemedicalcenter.com to learn more. Oak Tree Medical Center. Caring. Compassionate. Complete.
Welcome back to Vital Voices. Let's continue our conversation.
You know, I think one of the, one of the things that you discovered during this process, I think one of the things that always stuck out to me, was this concept of the mind-body-spirit connection.
Yeah.
And that's something that you've fully embraced. How did understanding that connection impact your journey?
Right. So let's pick back up to that point where I'm getting a little bit more in terms of my physicality.
Mm-hmm.
Not up to the goals yet for physical activity for me,
mm-hmm.
but I'm getting there. I'm making strides. You know, I'm being a lot more intentional about what I put in my body, but I'm stressed. I'm stressed. I'm not at work. You know, and I start to realize that. As I get stressed and researching as well, I'm experiencing certain symptoms,
mm-hmm.
physical symptoms in my body.
Mm-hmm.
And I start to learn more about stress and how a lot of our bodies are stuck in fight or flight. Our sympathetic nervous systems are just going and going.
Region.
And whereas we're supposed to be in a place of peace where we're able to activate that parasympathetic nervous system, a rest and digest system that allows us to heal, I couldn't. It was like my body was consistently tense. I was having chronic pain, pretty severe at times,
mm-hmm.
debilitating at times, headaches, GI issues on and off. And I'm like, I think the stress has something to do with my holdup in terms of my progression and healing.
Yeah.
And so I'm realizing that as I'm starting to have, you know, fears about life, fears about, what's going to happen, the great unknown, right? What happens in the future. Fears about if I'm ever going to be well again. That took a toll on my body. And then I started to learn that, well, we've long known this. We've long known that what happens in our minds, our thought life, impacts directly what happens in our physical bodies and is the driver for a lot of chronic illnesses and the reason why some people just cannot get a handling.
Yeah.
And so I started to address those things. I started to learn about and address those things. And just like how we have a routine that we do, we meal prep, right?
Mm-hmm.
When we want to lose weight, when we want to eat healthy, we want to meet our protein goals and our fiber goals. We meal prep, right?
Yeah.
We also go to the gym. We have gym memberships. We have workout groups. But what do we do for stress management when this is a big driver for disease? Do mm-hmm. we eat with like inflammation in mind? Do we do these things? This is a part of the journey.
Yeah.
You know, I was isolated because of my illness. Do we have a real plan for meaningful connections? These were the questions.
Yeah, you know, for me, what I always remember here, you know, when you talk about the mind-body connection, our frequent flyers on this podcast in the mental health space always love to make that statement that mental health is health too, right?
It is.
It's like it's all a part of the same body. You know, and it all plays a role in how we feel in our physical and in our mental space. You know, for you, you have talked about believing in, and you believe in a three-legged stool approach in chronic disease management. You know, as you've explored the concept of mind, body, spirit, as you've explored the pillars of lifestyle medicine, you know, what are the three legs in this instance, and how is this approach beneficial?
So I love the three-legged stool approach. This approach exists in different spaces of different disciplines, but the one that I'm referring to is from like Dr. Herbert Benson. He coined this and he talked about having the first approach be self-care. You know, I like to expand upon it a little bit and say self-care, which also includes soul care, you know, remembering that you're a holistic person, your mind, body, spirit, and remembering to approach yourself as a whole person. The second one would be your surgery and medical procedures. And the third one, of course, are pharmaceuticals, you know, right, our helpers out there. And if you look at this, this approach allows you to address all of these things that lifestyle medicine advocates so strongly for, that when you put them all into practice, you can see things like disease reversal, right? Mm-hmm. Rather than just treatment, management, control. And these are great. Listen, when you have pressure through the roof, when your blood sugar is out of control and you're in DKA, you need care. Mm-hmm. You need care. You're having a event, cardiac, cerebrovascular. You need care, okay? Stroking out, you need care. You get care. But fundamentally, when you settle down and when you are now stable and you're being followed by your physician, you need to get on a path to wholeness, because there was a reason. There was a root cause mm-hmm. behind what's going on with you. There are drivers that make it worse.
Yeah.
And you have to sit down and say, hey, you know, am I addressing everything? I'm going to be compliant. I'm going to show up to my appointments. But what else can I do? It's not all in the hands of my physician that every time something goes wrong with me, it's their fault. Or, right, you know, you have to, we have lots of allied health professions that are here to fight the fight. You have nutritionists out here. Mm-hmm. You have physiotherapists going hard. You have personal trainers. You have psychologists. You have all these different areas and fields of these disciplines where they know this. Mm-hmm. They know this, okay? And we're not all privileged enough to see these people. I mean, imagine if you have to see your doctor every 3 months, also your psychiatrist and your therapist and your nutritionist. It's difficult, that right?
It really can add up.
Right, it can add up. And so your physician also only has a certain amount of time. Mm-hmm. They can't necessarily get down to the nitty-gritty of your entire life and backstory as to what's driving your illness in their office. They're gonna prescribe you something to help you get over and the hump that you're in, mm-hmm. you know, to buy you today, to buy you yeah. some time. You understand? And that's a beautiful thing, buying you time. It's a beautiful thing. But buying you time to do what?
Right.
Buying you time to make changes mm-hmm. to your life, you know, and lifestyle medicine kind of preaches that it helps you, you know, take view yourself holistically and see yourself as needing these different areas to heal, taking a three-legged stool approach, mm-hmm. you know, addressing yourself bit by bit until it is that you reach your actual goals. And don't be afraid to set those goals for healing, you know, especially you're a spiritually minded person. Mm-hmm. We believe in healing.
Yeah.
We believe in that. But I also believe in personal responsibility and understanding scientifically the way that we were made, mm-hmm. the way that our bodies function. You know, these things are connected. You can't do one and ignore the other.
Yeah. This is why it's the importance of the mind-body-spirit connection in the first right. place, because all of this is intertwined.
Right. And this is why lifestyle medicine now is available in our top-tier institutions mm-hmm. around the world.
Yep.
Because this has been realized, you know. A conference last year, it was like, 4,000 people?
Yep, at the Lifestyle Medicine Conference. Right. Yeah, you have lifestyle medicine as an in-hospital specialty.
Yes, yes,
yeah.
100%. And lots of people being certified as nutritionists, as physiotherapists, because we need an army. Mm-hmm. We need an army of people.
Yeah, you really do.
You know, who are minded in this way to help people get over the scourge. Mm-hmm. That is chronic illness, because the way that the world is set up, it's almost anti-healing.
Yeah.
It's pro-disease. It's pro-inflammatory.
Yeah, that's, you know, that's, boy.
It's true.
Yeah, you look at, you know, the way our foods are processed, you look at, you know, the pesticides, you look at the chemicals, the non-organic, like all these things that exist, right? The way life is built, the financial struggles, the stress of work and
people our relationships, multiple jobs,
right? All of the, you know, toxicity that sometimes exists in interpersonal relationships, whether that's work, whether that's at home with other family members, even with friends, like there's so much that just seems geared towards driving us towards not being healthy,
not being totally functional, graves and all right? These sorts of things. Right, they attack our mental health, mm-hmm. which then has, as we talked about, the mind body connection, which fundamentally attacks our physical health. It's going to catch up.
All one.
It's going to catch up.
What I remember, what I think I was always intrigued by watching you go through the journey was when you started to integrate some of the less physical things, right? So it's like you talk about
when exercise, I got to that point.
You talk about food, you talk about those things. But when it was like, you know, the breath work and like the gratitude journaling. And the Christian meditations and mm-hmm. things like that. I think even just from kind of watching you navigate it, that unlocked a different level of healing and getting over things in your journey. Can you kind of, you know, walk us through what those different elements played or role they played in your journey?
Right. So, you know, I think we're at that point in the story where I'm realizing that stress management mm-hmm. And sleep and isolation need to be addressed. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, maybe I won't heal all the way, right?
I'm going to tell the people you still don't sleep enough.
It's like...
Keep going.
Yeah, it's still a work in progress, honestly. I'm not even going to deny it. Still a work in progress. But I started to see that those symptoms that I had, the GI, the neck tension, the pain in the body, like some of these seem like symptoms of chronic stress. And, you know, also being a person that was a school of, part of the school of suffering due to trauma mm-hmm. in my life, I knew that I kind of need to address these things. I need to actually find out how it is to relax. I need to try and stop this cortisol from surging mm-hmm. because I'm showing the signs. And I said, what to do? Now, I got led to doing Christian meditation was the first thing. In fact, the first meditations that I ever did was in the hospital itself. Mm-hmm. During that experience, yeah. It literally got me through. I was in a hospital experiencing being on the edge at peace. Mm-hmm. At peace. I spent my days because I couldn't really read much. My eyes were barely functioning. So I listened. I listen to Christian meditations. I focus deeply on scripture. I internalize them. Later on, I got to add on breath work, which is kind of like a first line of response for some, you know, it's something that you kind of need to go deep in, but diaphragmatic breathing is well known mm-hmm. to, you know, relax you, help and shift that atmosphere, you know, help you get to activate that parasympathetic. And, you know, I learned to do deep breathing. I learned to not accept negative thoughts mm-hmm. as I looked at them as things that were going to hinder my process.
Yeah,
I can't accept it. No, I'm going to think, I'm going to switch and reframe those thoughts.
Yep.
I'm going to reframe them. And these were all things that I were doing along my journey, journaling, therapeutic journaling. Mm-hmm. These are scientific methods,
yep.
you know, and so these are things that should be a part of your stress management practices, you know, the relaxation response, practicing mindfulness-based stress reduction practices that happen. They have a decent one in a lot of the decent ones in a lot of the institutions, mm-hmm. Premier healthcare institutions. These strategies help you combat and fight chronic illness directly, okay? With seeing changes in your blood pressure, they work.
That they do.
They work. They help you with your chronic inflammation mm-hmm. symptoms and why not place them in your life? If they work, a lot of them are actually very biblically sound. Mm-hmm. You know, you have to parse it kind of carefully. Mm-hmm. As a Christian, right? I had to do that. That's a whole next episode. But nonetheless, a lot of the methods are proven to work. So we do our breath work. We practice gratitude.
Yeah.
We journal, okay?
Yeah, there's tons of evidence-based research.
There are tons of research that back these practices up. And so why would we starve ourselves from things that can take us over that edge? If you're on your healing journey, you know, you might need that extra push. Mm-hmm. If you haven't started, this might be a simple place to start.
I hope you're enjoying this episode of Vital Voices. We're going to take a quick break for some words from our sponsors and we'll be right back. Gentlemen, it's time to take charge of your health with Oak Tree Medical Center. We provide comprehensive prostate care at affordable prices, from prostate-specific antigen tests to prostate ultrasounds to advanced prostate MRIs. We've got you covered. Need further evaluation or treatment? Oak Tree Surgical Suites offers biopsies and in-house surgery. Our team of experts is here for you every step of the way. Visit us at Oak Tree Medical Center on East Street South and Prince Charles Drive, or for surgical procedures, find us at Oak Tree Surgical Suites, top of the hill, Mackey Street. Call us today at 322-1145 or visit oaktreemedicalcenter.com. Oak Tree Medical Center, caring, compassionate, complete.
Discover the ultimate in personalized health care with the Oak Tree Primary Plus program. Enjoy comprehensive primary care, annual physicals, lab and imaging discounts, mental health screenings, and more, all tailored to meet your needs. With flexible payment options, exceptional care has never been more accessible. Join today and take control of your health journey. Call 242-8164-OPP, 4667, or visit oaktreemedicalcenter.com. Oak Tree Primary Plus, where your health comes first.
Ladies, at Oak Tree Medical Center, your health is our priority. From early detection to advanced treatment options, our comprehensive breast care services are here to support you every step of the way. With locations at East Street South, Prince Charles Drive, and our state-of-the-art surgical suites and MRI at Top of the Hill, Mackey Street, we're right where you need us. Because when it comes to your breast care, you deserve the best care. And remember, the Million Mammogram Movement continues. Call us today at 242-321-145 or visit oaktreemedicalcenter.com to learn more. Oak Tree Medical Center. Caring. Compassionate. Complete.
Welcome back to Vital Voices. Let's continue our conversation.
You know, we talked about when we've been plotting out like how to present your work and how to make it digestible for people. And then we came up with this idea of showing a person standing on the pillars.
Laying down on six pillars, right.
Laying down on the six pillars of lifestyle and medicine, and having, like, basically, you take one pillar away and you watch the imbalance that occurs. You watch the shaky ground that you're immediately on.
Right.
And then if you take away another, essentially you're on the ground within one or two, right?
Right.
And that's, I think that concept is helpful for people to recognize that all of these areas have to be tackled. You have to be considerate of all of these components in order to really say that you're taking a full holistic view of your health. Because if you're not trying to manage all of these, then you're going to be short a pillar. And if you're short a pillar, you're on shaky ground.
You start to fall.
Yeah,
right. Start to fall. Right, right. And just a plug, you know, the six pillars, I love them. You know, everything from nutrition to physical activity to social connections and sleep, even avoidance of risky substances, because, you know, some of us are using other medications get through with life. But we also have to look at the fact that there are just certain elements, dimensions of wellness that you just have to consider when you're looking at yourself, you know, in that journey to stress management, to decreasing your social isolation and all of this, you have to be able to say, you know, how is my life going in general? You know, how is my spiritual life? That's a dimension of wellness. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Because that's going to impact the things that I pursue, the things that I believe, which impacts the thoughts that I have. And that's going to impact your internal environment, which fundamentally manifests as symptoms in the body. And so this is why we have to keep pushing to view ourselves this way, as healthcare providers, pushing to see your patients this way, because it is genuinely the difference between life and death for many. The difference between having a good quality of life, having a decent health span, and getting yucked up out of the earth prematurely. Mm-hmm. Getting some of these things right.
Yeah, that becomes critically important. You know, as we start to wrap up, you know, what would you say to, what advice would you give to, like, doctors, caregivers, allied health, members of that space who are hearing you talk about this and, you know, may be interested or, you know, may still have questions about it? What would you say to them in terms of how they can start to incorporate some of these things into their practice?
I would say be open-minded and remember how the body was made to function when you look at a patient. Mm-hmm. Remember that they are multiple parts. Try your best to view an entire person rather than just the diagnosis on the paper or the fact, like in my case, that it just didn't want to add up, you know? Yeah. Be open-minded. You know, I had a physician, you know, that just kind of reminded me of a very important piece who was open-minded with me. Mm-hmm. You know, I remember when I said to him, the Lord is leading me to fasting. Fast. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I'm having a lot of neurological symptoms. Mm-hmm. Is this going to be fine?
Yeah.
And, you know, he could have shut me down.
He was very open-minded.
He said, go ahead. Mm-hmm. Go ahead. And I'll watch you. Mm-hmm. I'll watch you.
And he said, keep in contact.
Keep in contact with me.
Let me know what happens.
Right.
Let me
know. Right. How it's right. And even as a physician, I went to mine and I check. Mm-hmm. And this is, you know, I advocate for this because this is a complementary field. We work together. Right. And so he said, go ahead. And I engage in that first 10-day fast. Mm-hmm. One of many now. Mm-hmm. But in that first 10-day fast, my symptoms went from, there was like 10 seizures a day to very episodic. Mm-hmm. I mean, a tremendous. Yeah,
a
pivotal step, which is why I couldn't forget it, is a pivotal step in my story. Mm-hmm. And it was because I had a
physician.
I was curious.
Right. But you also had the physician who was caring for you was open-minded enough and willing to say, let's explore it. Also, like I said, to be very clear, with the clear indication, keep in contact with me. Let me know if anything funky happens. Let me know in order to keep eyes on it and to make sure that you
that I'm just, well right, throughout the process. Or just not out here because it could be dangerous for some, right?
Right.
But yeah, I did a 10-day juice fast. I had to keep up my hydration at the time, but I did an electrolytes. But I did a 10-day juice fast, and he was with me, and it was the single most effective thing that I had done for myself throughout that journey. And periodically, I still do it. Mm-hmm. You know, I still do it. And it was one of those things that affected me, mind, body,
and spirit.
Yes.
Yeah.
In all the ways, and you know, we obviously don't have enough time to talk about that, all of it. We could have a lot more conversations.
And we will.
We could have a lot more conversations. But this is why it's really, really important to look at yourself as a whole person. Because, mm-hmm. you know, I didn't only hear clearer from Jesus during that time. I got physically better.
Yeah.
Tremendously, notably better. Mm-hmm.
You know,
that open mind.
Yeah. As we wrap up, you know, I think one of the things that you've always kind of said throughout this process is that change is simple, right, on its face, but it's not always easy. What advice would you give to someone who is listening to this and saying, well, I want to start to take control of my health in this way? What advice would you give them, and where can you direct them in terms of being able to perhaps get help?
Right. So change is simple, but it's not easy, right? On this journey to, you know, as you simply put it, Dr. Dean Ornish would say, Eat well, move more, stress less, love more. It mm-hmm. sounds super simple, right? But how do we get that done? How do we take that from like ideology to life? Mm-hmm. Okay, I had to do that. And I'm not no longer on medication. Is every day perfect? No, but I was debilitated before.
Right.
And now I have new life.
Mm-hmm.
And now after 5 surgeries, I have a son
mm-hmm.
that I was not hospitalized for outside of delivering him.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a blessing.
Yeah.
I gained a lot. I gained a lot of life. And so how did I do it? Well, I view myself as a whole person.
Mm-hmm.
I kept remembering that throughout my day to day. I made practices and things that I must do for my diet, for me, for my health, for my mood,
mm-hmm.
for my life. I get sunlight in my eyes.
Mm-hmm.
I look at God's creation, you know, and now I've realized the importance of doing it in community.
Mm-hmm.
So if I had to say to people to not have to take so long as I did to go through this long, arduous journey, I would say lead with love for yourself. Think about your purpose.
Mm-hmm.
Think about your why. Okay. Find like-minded people. Find even like-minded healthcare workers, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Find a church community. Create a church community, all right? Find communities that believe what you believe, that can help you support other people. That helps you too. It keeps you on track, okay? And a lot of other scientific things too that we'll talk about later. But nonetheless, find community. Remember your why. These are the things that I would say help you, because the journey is actually really, really hard. It's hard to shift your perspective.
Yeah.
It's hard to be disciplined and do everything in a day in a midst, like on top of everything that you already do in a day. But you have to remember why you're doing it to get it done. And you should be able to join communities of mine. We're going to drop a link somewhere in the actual, when this is posted online,
mm-hmm.
there should be a link for you to meet some people who are living this life, trying to make the best of what we have here, trying to increase our health spans. We're not perfect. We're not doing everything perfect, but we're trying to get it right. We're trying to live lives of purpose, and we're trying to improve our quality of this time that we have here on earth, and it's worth it.
That it is.
It's worth that investment in you.
Yeah. You know, this has been a great conversation. I think it's going to be very insightful for our listeners, whether they are patients, whether they are family members, whether they are physicians, allied health workers, because I think it shines a light on a growing and developing field of medicine that is keen to be helpful for people, you know, who are really looking to holistically fix and change their health.
Right.
So thank you so much for joining us today on Vital Voices. We definitely appreciate your insight, your conversation, your candor about sharing your story.
Loved it.
Awesome. So thank you again for your vulnerability, your insight, and for letting us into such a personal and transformational chapter of your life. Your journey is a reminder that healing isn't linear, and sometimes the most profound recoveries begin in the darkest valleys. To our listeners, whether you're navigating your own chronic illness, supporting a loved one, or treating patients, my hope is that this conversation stirred something in you, a desire to dig deeper, to lead with compassion, and to believe in the body's ability to heal, especially when supported by faith, intentional living, and a whole person approach. If this episode resonated with you, consider sharing it with someone who needs to hear it. You never know how one story, one voice, one journey can inspire another. Thank you for joining us this week on Vital Voices for the nation's most vital conversation, where insight meets impact. Until next time, stay informed, stay connected, stay well, and stay tuned for the next Vital Voice.
Did you miss a part of today's show? You can catch this episode and all Vital Voices episodes online at youtube.com/@VitalVoices242. See you next week as we sit down with another Vital Voice.
We'd like to thank today's sponsors, Oak Tree Medical Center and Wellspring Lifestyle Group.
Fire for juice.